Welcome back. It's How to Kill a Piano. It's still Halloween. And this is your third episode of How to Kill a Piano. Thanks so much for being here and listening and spending Halloween with me. And if it isn't Halloween where you are at the time that you chose to listen to this, thanks for spending the time anyway. Without further ado, here's chapter 24 of How to Kill a Piano. Halloween again. Sharon found themselves floating alone in their ferry boat, leaving Sarah behind in the Athenian world. This particular Halloween marked 4 years since Charlie's transformation, and 3 since Sharon and Sarah fell in love. Every Halloween, Sharon needed to be at the ferry to meet Cordiva for their annual report. As time went on, and the closer Sarah and Sharon became, it became more and more tricky hiding their relationship from Cordiva. Sharon touched their left paw to their forehead, and with closed eyes began to speak out into the darkness. Cordiva's voice spoke back from the moments ago empty ferry, though it was too dark now to be sure. "We really need to stop meeting like this," Cordiva purred in her usual way as she washed herself, with no regard to Sharon's physical existence. "I couldn't agree more," Sharon smugly retorted. "I suppose you haven't secured him for me yet this year either," Cordiva purred, licking her paw, then running the saliva up over her head and across her ears, dragging it through her fur. Unshaken, Sharon continued their report. "In all this time, it's never been my job to collect anyone for you. That's been your job, Cordiva. You bring them here, I collect their tokens and help them on their way. I've never once asked what happens when you take them, and I've never once complained. But tell me this, why are you so obsessed with Charlie?" Cordiva glared before answering. "Charlie's different from the others," Cordiva purred some more. "But the Athenians don't die. Everything dies. Even ideas like Charlie. If you can't help me, I'll simply have to convince Scrutius to do the job that you're failing to do. But they're idiots." "They're idiots, yes. But even an idiot is useful now and again." "I've never taken a life, Cordiva." "That's not our agreement," Sharon begged.
"Oh, my dear Sharon, you don't have to take his life. You just have to nudge him a little bit. Invite him into your ferry. Take him on a small little ride. For you see, he's made a very stupid mistake. He thinks he can break tradition and continue to do what he wishes. But if he doesn't pass along himself to the new form, he will cease to exist, and we will have nothing to take with us."
Given the right genetic makeup, Cordiva could lick anyone to death if she so desired. Her tongue was made up of tiny little needles that felt like sandpaper that slowly drained the blood from her prey as she licked them into unconsciousness. Sharon sat there obediently at their end of the ferry in silence. "You know very well I can't touch the Athenians directly. Their bodies don't wither away like the others, and I'm growing hungry." Cordiva licked her teeth. "I think he's protected. He doesn't see me," Sharon countered. "No worries. I see I've wasted my time. I'll call upon my demons. Perhaps it might even be a good first test for the form he's been working on growing into. The one he's been calling Abby or whatever. I don't know why I bother to learn their names. They're never here for very long. It's no matter.
go enjoy your day off with whatever it is you do for Halloween. In an instant, Cordiva was gone, leaving Sharon alone for the rest of Halloween. Sharon was haunted by conflicting emotions and sought solace in the timeless space between realms as they paddled about before returning to Sarah in the Athenian world. Sharon found Sarah tending to her pianos in her music room. She ran a cloth over their sides, shining them up, the ivory keys trembling with each stroke of the cloth as her puppy laid peacefully at her feet. "Hello, puppy. How did it go with that damned cat?" Sarah hissed. "I don't know how long I can continue to protect Charlie," Sharon admitted. "Cordiva has relieved me from the task of luring Charlie onto my ferry." "Well, that's good, right?" "Not really. She's tasking Scrutius on the job." "That slimy piece of shit," Sarah exclaimed. "His behavior," Sharon growled. "He's been rounding up pianos of all shapes and sizes. Baby grands, stand-ups, concertos, toy pianos. Whatever he can get his devilish hands on." Sharon scratched behind one ear with their paw as they responded. "That is concerning." "Luckily, he's not good with them like I am," Sarah comforted. "They'll sooner eat him alive than do his bidding." "Nevertheless, if you can keep an eye on him and try to figure out what his plan is, that would be helpful." "Maybe it's time you introduce yourself properly to George, the little one. It might give us an edge to gain his trust. Something tells me we're going to need it." Sarah softly closed the piano and tossed a biscuit down to Styx, who drooled onto the carpet as they gobbled up their treat. "Is that what I look like?" Sharon pondered out loud with disgust. "Darling," Sarah comforted. "You're absolutely charming no matter what form you're in. I don't know where I'd be without you." She reached her inked hand back into the biscuit jar on top of the piano and tossed one to Sharon. Sharon caught it in their mouth and immediately started to crunch it between their teeth. "I'll do my best," Sharon said with a hint of doubt between bites. "First meetings don't usually stick well." Sharon swallowed. "Unless someone's on my ferry. You know that better than anyone." Sarah smiled and ran her hand between Sharon's ears. "I think it's time I meet him too." "Are you okay seeing Charlie?" Sharon inquired. "I don't think you'll be able to meet one without the other." "I admit, it'll be hard to see him without knowing me. But this was the way it had to be. I love him. And seeing him happy makes me happy, even if part of me is sad that we couldn't walk the same path together." Sharon morphed back into their humanoid form and embraced Sarah, wrapping their arms tightly around her, holding her close. "I love you," Sharon whispered. "I love you," Sarah whispered back. Sharon knew that it was only a matter of time before Cordiva figured out the truth about Charlie's protection. Scrutius will eventually figure out that Charlie hasn't been raising what they think, and that the little one isn't untouchable. Sharon let go of Sarah and began morphing back into their beastly form. "We have to assume we have a little more time before that snake bites. I've handled Scrutius before. I can handle him again. After all, there was a time when Charlie and Scrutius were friends. Maybe we can reason with him." As the world around them seemed to fade into the background, Sharon committed to their role in not only maintaining as a servant of death, but as a guardian of love and compassion in a realm dominated by darkness. Sharon would navigate the treacherous waters of deception and loyalty, playing the part of a double agent in service of both Cordiva and love itself. The path ahead was uncertain, fraught with dangers and sacrifice, but Sharon's heart burned with an unyielding flame that would guide them through the trials to come. This has been another episode of How to Kill a Piano. My name's George Tate. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to keep in touch and keep updated and follow us, you can do so over at Facebook on our Facebook page, over at howtokillapiano.com directly, where you can snag some great merch, because that really helps us out here at this channel and keeps the story going. If you haven't noticed, we took a long hiatus because, well, we all got work to do and we all have stories to tell. And sometimes we take a break and tell other things. Until next time. Well, until next time.